On June 2nd, 2021, my best friend Joey and I were recording some audio about a bunch of games on a bunch of topics for a bunch of systems. And invariably, the conversation went to The Legend of Zelda: A Link to the Past, a beloved game in the Super Nintendo catalog, and by some estimations, one of the greatest games ever made. And during this conversation, Joey said the following.
It never gets old. And my kids play it to this day. It's their favorite game.
Really? Wow.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. They were raised on that. So, like, you know, I raised them on the classics. And it still holds up. And their friends come over. Their friends are still interested in it. It's incredible, Bill. The game still holds up. All these years later, it still holds up to a new generation of kids. Whether I play it as an adult, I play it for the 100th time, it still holds up. And on most lists, on most top 100, top 50, whatever, greatest games of all time, you'll always find it there, top 10, either 4 or 6 or wherever.
Oh yeah. Yeah, you can't do a top 10 or a top 100 games of all time list without Link to the Past on it. Like, you can't.
No.
You can't do that.
No.
I mean, I can't imagine a list that would not have that on there. That really makes me feel good about the future. That the kids, that young kids in a world of Minecraft and Fortnite and everything else going on, they're still willing to sit down with some 16-bit Link and play some Link to the Past. That really warms my heart, I gotta tell you. That's awesome, man.
What do you say about arguably the greatest game ever made? Whenever I cover a universally beloved game, I wonder, how can I possibly add something new to the conversation? What can I contribute to the millions of 10 out of 10s and 95s out of 100s or 4 exploding 5.0 faces if you're game pro? And then I remember the point of this show. Tell people's stories. But more than that, I decided to follow Joey's lead and dodge the nostalgia. See what my son thinks. About an hour ago, he sat down with Link to the Past for the first time on the Switch. Now, he's 6, and he's pretty good. He plays Mario Kart, and he's kind of dabbling through Yoshi's Crafted World and does a bit of Mario, but he's not a pro, so he needed some guidance. But only a little bit. Within a few minutes, he had found his way to the castle. He needed some help learning how to pick up the bushes and get into the backdoor area, but for the most part, he figured it out. Of course, when he got his lantern, he has a terrible habit of hitting X and Y at the same time, or whatever the attack and Y is, so he burned out his magic powder immediately, and then the subsequent, "you have no magic powder" message, really annoying. So I had to literally physically block his thumbs from hitting Y, but kind of got through it. And after a time, he just continued on. Spent most of his time running, which was very interesting. And this game is beautifully tuned for multiple play styles, which while still teaching those fundamentals, but he learned the combat. And he learned to evade, and he progressed throughout the level. And I helped him consult the map and find the right places to go, because I always forget too. Even though I'm a 42-year-old man, I still get lost sometimes in Link to the Past. While my 2-year-old daughter was sitting next to us, and she started making the sword sounds as we were playing, which was completely and amazingly adorable. We got to the jailer, and it took him about 20 tries and copious amounts of Switch rewind. Thank you, Nintendo, for that feature to take it down. But he did. He was actually able to beat the jailer on his own. Until finally, we emerged to the sanctuary. He received a heart container, and I walked away to let him explore. At that point, I said, "Now you just play. I'm not going to sit here and hold your hand." About a half hour later, I sat him down in front of the microphone, and he had this to say.
So, William, What game did you just play?
I played Zelda in... What
is it? Link to the Past?
Zelda in Link to the Past.
Good. And was this your first time playing it?
Yes.
What did you think? What did you think? How far did you get in the game?
I beat the person who was really like the guy was swinging around like this thing. And then I got the princess. So I felt very happy. And I got this giant key that can open any door that small keys can't.
Nice. It took us a while to get there, I think. But did you enjoy yourself?
Yes, I did.
Good. You sound extremely cheery about it. Are you gonna keep going?
I do not know, but maybe if I'm doing another game, I could probably record it again.
Oh, yeah. Well, I hope you're playing it just to... Were you enjoying yourself, though, right?
Yes.
What did you think about the beginning part?
I thought about the beginning part was tilting. I thought that I'll never make it through, so I guess I didn't do it. But I did! It's amazing!
I'm glad you enjoyed it. What was your favorite part of the game?
So, it's beating the person with the swagging thing up.
The swagging thing? What's a swagging thing?
The thing that was swinging, he was swinging around. Oh, yeah.
The guy by the jail?
Yeah.
When you saved the princess.
Yeah.
And we got through the dark part, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you think your favorite enemy was?
Oh.
Because there's the guards, the rats, the bats. That's about it, I think, that we ran into.
I think there were spiders too, right?
No, I didn't see any spiders.
I did see spiders.
Where did you see spiders?
I saw spiders.
I think you dreamt that up.
No, it's true. I saw spiders.
Fair enough. Well, William, I thank you for trying out the game. So what would you say to kids your age if they want to play this game? Should they play this game? Should they skip it? Should they stick to whatever nonsense kids your age play, Roblox or whatever, youths?
I'll say if anyone plays Roblox, I'll say stop playing Roblox. Right now, play Zelda and Link in the future.
Link to the past.
Link to the past, I mean.
All right. Thank you, William.
Unscripted, unfiltered, nostalgia-free, The Legend of Zelda, A Link to the Past is still an entrancing and fantastic game that connects with gamers of all ages all these years later. But what about people who played it of its day? What about those who experienced it for the first time upon release? On this episode of A Gamer Looks at 40, we dive into the personal stories and recollections of the third Legend of Zelda game. Whether you call it Link to the Future, Link to the Past, or Zelda 3, as it was known in a lot of different countries, this game was iconic in a way most games can only dream of becoming. Time to lace up your boots, grab your sword, and rush headfirst into the driving rain as we take a look at the top of the Triforce, The Legend of Zelda, A Link to the Past.
This time it calls you to the ultimate battle of good against evil. To a quest few are prepared for, and fewer still survive. Now the power is within your grasp. It's the game that's already a legend. The Legend of Zelda, A Link to the Past. Only on the Super Nintendo Entertainment System. Now you're playing with superpower.
Starting us off with some first impressions is Andrew Craig, followed by Blue and Donnie of the Gamers Week podcast, and then finally Greg Seward of the Player One podcast and Generation 16 series of videos.
So since you were playing, because Link's Awakening was between Link to the Past and Ocarina. It was in that middle spot, right? So did you play a lot of Link to the Past along as you were kind of moving along your...
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Every new console that releases has that game that makes you realize, oh, we really are in the next place.
Hmm.
And for a lot of people, with Super Nintendo, that game was Mario World.
Yeah.
But for me, it was Link to the Past. Specifically because of that opening. The concept that you could tell a story that deep. You know, when you get into that and you wake up and it's a rainy night and your uncle goes off to try to save the princess, and you follow in his footsteps and you make your way through the rain, through the world, and you make your way to the castle and then have to get in and just, it was a holy crap. This isn't yeah. just Nintendo again. This is something new. And this something new is giving them a whole new tool set for telling stories.
I would argue that, to your point, that Link to the Past was a bigger evolution than Mario World was to Mario 3.
I would completely agree with you.
Because for exactly the reason you stated, it introduced this real-time cinematic quality that you only really found in RPGs, but this was presented in a Zelda game, in an action adventure game that was definitely more palatable than a Final Fantasy or a Dragon Warrior or something along those lines. And just the emotion, again, that rain falling and finding your uncle, the pathos is just a really striking opening. And again, I've said on this conversation, it's one of my favorite opening hours of a game, like full stop.
Yeah, well, I think that RPGs didn't really find their footing as a popular thing in America until way later.
Yes, correct.
And mm-hmm. so the concept of deep storytelling didn't really exist. And I feel like the jump to Super Nintendo, yes, Super Mario World is an evolution of Mario 3. And they did things with the Super Nintendo that we never could have seen on the NES.
Correct.
But the tool set was mechanical because Mario at its core is not a narrative. It's a game about the mechanics. It's a game about running, jumping, moving, collecting power-ups, using those power-ups to open new areas and take new paths. Zelda, they made it a game about the story. They made you invested in the characters and the world. And that's not something that they easily could have done with the NES. And the Super Nintendo gave them the power to not only do that, but also set the mood and be cinematic.
Sure.
Like, even now, that rain is just...
Yeah, it's gorgeous. I mean, it's gorgeous. Everything about that open is great. But what was the first game, Blue, that you really got into, that really grabbed you and took hold?
That was probably Link to the Past.
Nice.
I was in love with the Super Nintendo as a whole. And again, it's one that I didn't own, only was able to rent. And so it was one that I had to really, again, wait till I was an adult to fall in love with. But I love that game. That's a great game.
Do you remember the first time playing Link to the Past, opening hour, which I think might be one of the best opening hours in games? Again, I'm not trying to be, you know, hyperbolic about it. Do you remember how you felt when you first popped that in, the story unfolding, going to find your uncle, like rain falling down? Can you think back to kind of how that felt?
Yeah, I remember the first time playing that opening hour of the game and feeling like it was very serious, you know, very serious compared to a lot of other Nintendo games at the time, which were lots of bright colors and happy music or whatever. And then you plug in Link to the Past and it's dark and it's rainy and gosh, somebody died. So your family member died. It's like, whoa, it kind of felt like everything was on a whole new level of like, no, this is serious.
No, that's definitely a good point. It definitely has a, to use a, I guess, corny, a gravitas to it.
Yes.
it really does. I also, one thing about Link to the Past, and Donnie, I'll let you jump in on this bit, is I always really struck me how you're there to, you know, again, quote unquote, like save the princess. You do it first, and then you are leaving with her, which I always was very impressed by, because that for me felt like I was on the adventure with her, as opposed to somebody in the castle, the last goal, you know, the last thing to do, or in Zelda 2, land there to wake up. Like, I've rescued you, now we're on a little adventure together as we escape to the sanctuary. Donnie, what was your first opinions of, or first thoughts or feelings about Link to the Past?
Well, I mean, like you said, you rescue her immediately, and you're like, oh, is this the shortest Link game ever? Like, what is going on? Like, well, I just spent my hard-earned money on this? But it's when you were talking with Blue about that, about the opening hour, and I can hear the raindrops. I can hear the ambience, the music of you going to the castle and trying to sneak in. And that was really the first time that I got super engaged with The Legend of Zelda. I loved the original one. I had it for the Nintendo Entertainment System. I didn't really play it that much because it felt like at the time it was a monumental thing to try and complete this. So I was really looking for that quick and dirty hit, you know, that Super Mario Brothers 2 or the Super Mario Brothers, something I can just pick up, casually run through, and just turn off and whatnot, and not have to worry about where I last saved it at, what I was doing, which dungeon I had just ventured into. But I was a little bit older whenever the Super Nintendo came out and The Legend of Zelda Link to the Past came out, and I picked it up and I was like, whoa, okay. Before then, I really didn't like RPGs or anything like that.
Uh-oh, but uh-oh. This, he mentioned RPG in the same sentence.
Oh, no.
Everybody run.
Well, and I know it's not a role-playing game. It has certain characteristics. Yeah, you're not really leveling up your character per se, but you're gaining more more stamina or more hearts or whatever to make you go be able to take on tougher enemies. That was the first time that I really started to, my love for the Zelda franchise really came back into play. And I think after beating A Link to the Past, which, if I'm not mistaken, a lot of the enemies or a lot of the boss fights, it was just a simple, okay, I'm going to do my move on you like three or four times and then bam, it's done. Okay. Like right. one of the first bosses I think you fight is the, it looks like a dinosaur with a shell on its head, and you set the bomb in its place, and then you try to blow it up and it knocks part of the shell off, and then you attack with the sword and it's dead. All right. Very yep. simplistic. Not a lot of difficulty. I mean, there is, it's a challenge, but not too terribly difficult. Like I said, with the Dark Souls challenge, it's not like that. And I think that's, it gave me a sense of accomplishment whenever I was able to take one of these guys down.
And it's interesting that you cited challenge as something that Zelda's always done well, because I do think that for the most part, Zelda games, probably with the exception of Breath of the Wild, is really good at onboarding a player. I feel like it's good at onboarding, just like you said, the first boss, it teaches you mechanics without telling you how to do it, right? You know, the bomb, you already know it can blow holes in things. You see a creature that you can't attack. What do I do? What's the only verb I have? A bomb that blows things up. Let's try that. Boom, there it is. It really is usually very elegant in that regard. So let's kind of like move forward then to the 16-bit era with, obviously, I think most people would agree is the top three Zelda game ever made, which of course is Link to the Past. Did you play that when it came out, or was that a little later for you as well?
Yes. No, I played it when it came out because I didn't have a Super Nintendo, I might have had one by then because that was like 93, but I didn't have one. My best friend did. I had a Genesis and he had a Super Nintendo. So we ended up playing through that together, and I still call it, it's my favorite Zelda. And funnily enough, right, I have really no nostalgia for the first game, but Link's Awakening is not Link's Awakening. I'm sorry, Link to the Past,
yeah,
which was 92, not 93. It just like it hit that perfect balance. You know, I loved Zelda 2, but this really worked so well. And it really showed off the system and had great music. It was pretty, you know, just there was so much to love about it. And it had that great quest. So,
yeah,
it's my favorite Zelda game.
Do you remember how you felt when the first time you went to the dark world, the first time the world flips on you, you end up a bunny, and all of a sudden the game is now expanded in by double, right?
Yeah.
The game is doubled in size. Do you remember how you felt when you first saw that?
Oh, it was amazing. I mean, it was just like, you know, because I don't think either of us knew about it before it happened. And we were just like, what? Like, this is, first of all, we're a bunny. That's weird. But it's like, wait, so is this world as big as the one we've been on this whole game? Like, did the game just double in size? That's incredible.
Yeah. It's, again, another one of those really innovative moments. That's a big moment for me. I didn't play Zelda Link to the Past until much, much later. I was as an adult, actually. I never had it as a kid. Mm-hmm. And I had cousins who had it, and I always played it at their house. But it was one of those things I was never there long enough to really, really get into it. So I just never owned it until, again, as an adult. And so I don't have those nostalgic eyes for it, those, you know, preteen eyes for it. So I'm always interested, like, how did that – I can't imagine, like, what that must have felt like to, like, just have that world flip or – the cinematics of the opening of that game where you have the rain coming down, the light and the thunder, and you're...
Well, that's what I was about to say. Like, that to me was such a huge thing. I mean, and we'd seen stuff like that before. You were seeing it in, like, Genesis games, too, with the weather and things like that. But that opening scene in Link to the Past where Link is in bed and you can hear the rain falling outside, but it's all muffled. You know, and then when you go outside and there's just this rain effect that's over the whole screen and it got a little bit louder, like, it was just so cool. It was very rare to see stuff like that. And it's like, you know, you got that feeling where it's sort of like the same way I think, I felt when the first time I played like Ninja Gaiden, where it's like storytelling in games can be so much more than it has been, and so much more dramatic. Through not just the use of writing and gigantic characters on the screen, which definitely helped, but, you know, even from an audio standpoint and special effects and everything, it was just like, this is very, very cool. And the fact that you're running around with no items, no weapons, you know, I'm like, I don't know what's about to happen. It made a huge impression right from the start.
And I think that opening section, that opening hour, maybe hour and a half of Zelda Link to the Past is one of the best in games. I mean, I'm not trying to talk like hyperbole here. I really do, because you're doing so much, you're evading. It's actually encourages not only just combat, but also getting around people, like getting away from the different knights and sneaking through back ways, and you pop out of the sanctuary. It's so cinematic in a way that most games weren't still at that time.
And it also was a great example of an in-game tutorial that wasn't a tutorial, right? I mean, you can't it's very hard to screw that up. But you're taught so much in that first like half an hour while you're rescuing Zelda, which was also great that you were rescuing Zelda right from the start. But, you know, it's teaching you how to walk around and pick things up. And here's, you know, enemies with big shields, you have to hit them in a certain way. The small shields, you can hit them however you want. Here's how you charge your sword. Oh, by the way, now you can tap walls with your sword to figure out if that's a bombable wall, which is incredible. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like, you're doing all this in this nice sort of tightly packed little level as part of this big open world. And, you know, when you finish it, your reward is you step outside Sanctuary and the music starts up. And it's like, okay, now you're playing Zelda.
Yes. Now I'm in the world.
Right.
Yeah. You have a whole town to explore very close by. You can still get used to your weapon if you haven't used it much yet, because you still have enemies coming at you. And you really are forced to combat them because they usually are a little faster than you. I think it's really neat. And as you were talking, I kind of wrote this note down. You, instead of rescuing Zelda, you're trying to prevent something from happening.
Yeah.
Which I think is really an interesting abstraction of the trope of saving the princess, you know, which is basically what Zelda's been doing, at least up until that point.
Yeah.
I think that's actually an interesting abstraction of what that normal trope is.
Yeah, for sure. Like I say, I mean, it was surprising if you didn't know that it was about to happen, that you were, you know, saving her, quote unquote, saving her right from the start.
Sure.
I mean, it does eventually get back into Zelda, but yes, it does. Yeah, it was a cool, it was nice and different. There was so much that was different about it. I mean, you know, they were trying a lot of different stuff like that. I found because Super Metroid did something really similar, where it's like, you know, you have this gigantic world that you're eventually going to be able to explore, but we're going to start you in this small area and teach you how to do a lot of stuff first. But it doesn't feel like a tutorial. Like, that was the best part about it. It just felt cinematic. It felt like a prologue as opposed to a tutorial.
And the first reactions continue with Trevor and Jeff of the New Dad Gaming Podcast. Haven't had those guys on in a while. Love those guys. So please check them out if you get the chance. And then finally, Reverend D of the Rulebooks Anonymous podcast, also a good fella, talk about their first time popping the cartridge into the system and experiencing A Link to the Past.
So I started, I had none of the NES versions. I started with Link to the Past on Super Nintendo, and I traded NBA Jam for that game.
Okay.
So, crazy trade. I don't know why my neighbor would do that, but they were done with it. Okay. No replay value, right? I guess you're done the game and that's it. You just trade it off to a friend or whatever. So I came into that game, never beat it, but it was a really well done. I remember my just childhood mind blown away from the quote-unquote graphics, like the pixel graphics, and I think there was like translucencies of the fog and the rain. Mm-hmm. Like, it was just a well-crafted world. I felt part of this world and seemed enormous to me. So that's kind of one of those games. I mean, looking back on it now, like, that world map is not at all large, but I remember getting lost in those mazes of screens, right? Like, it would just kind of harken back to my retro PC game days where, like, each screen would take you to the next screen and you'd have to figure out, you know, the action pieces and the puzzles and take you to the next screen and work away around the world like that. But that was my first entry into Zelda, was SNES.
Trevor, can you go back to 1992? And mind you, this game was made in 1992. That's like early in the SNES. Like, you look at this game, it looks like a 94, 95, right? Like, really when developers were hitting their stride with the SNES. Do you remember how you felt when you first popped in there, got that cinematic, rain coming down, translucent fog? Like, put yourself in that mindset. Like, what was your reaction to it?
Yeah, I think it's one of those moments when you kind of realize the power of gaming. And at that point, too, when, you know, you'd upgraded from the NES and you finally get the Super Nintendo and the hype is real. This thing is really phenomenal. And watershed moment. It was something that really transcended games. So as opposed to being, you know, Final Fight 3 again, where it's just which is buff dudes punching other buff dudes and in grimier and grimer cities, which, you know, very shallow fun. Like, I don't want to degrade them at all, but just like so much shallow experiences. Here was this story, this unfolding epic narrative, and you're just placed in it and left to your devices, like, get going. Like, okay, I'll go right. And then you just are like, sure. Yeah. You're entirely in control of this character, and this world starts to open up to you, and only blocked by the various elements you're going to have to pick up along the way. So the, you know, the attention to detail, the storytelling, the was truly, like, I was thinking before we talked, I mean, I suppose in some ways Final Fantasy was open world in so much as you could just start walking around and get going right away. But something about A Link to the Past felt even more so of a kind of an open world than how we kind of currently understand it, around maps up to you. Like, where do you want to go? How do you want to do this? We got a couple guardrails for what you have to do, but you are Link. You are in this world. Here's this unfolding story. This is you. What do you want to do?
And an interesting theme to that, I think, is exploration and that freedom of movement, where you can, you know, go any place you want, you know, within reason, right? They're going to gate certain things because that's just how games work, and that's fine. Do you feel like that was one of the first times you'd experienced that? I mean, both both you guys, like, yeah, the first time you'd experienced the truly the ability to explore and go you know, find your own way.
Yeah, I'll go for it. Yeah, I think so for sure. I mean, with Final Fantasy, again, like with, and there's probably some other NES titles I'm not savvy to that might have had the same mechanic, but generally mm-hmm. it was all very much on rails. Even Final Fantasy just felt very, because the mechanic of how the gameplay went, mm-hmm. like with the mm-hmm. Random encounters, like it was very stop and go. And yeah. And when you got into the part you weren't supposed to be in, you just died. Like it was not like there was, so you found your edges very quickly. And being introduced into that type, the very first time stepping into an open world and having that control over your character and their destiny and what the steps you were going to take to get into it. And just even how some of their logic puzzles unfolded, where it was a little bit of trial and error, a bit of testing the water, seeing what would work, not necessarily being hamstrung or guided along some rail. It was, I don't want to say necessarily mind blowing. You right. know, it wasn't like I just dropped over into with a giddy grin and could be woken for hours, but it certainly was just astonishing. It kind of opened one's eyes to what could be possible with gaming.
But you have played, and then the next game in that list, of course, is Link to the Past. Did you play a lot of that of its time, or was that later on?
That one, okay, so in the 16-bit era, I had a Genesis and not a Super Nintendo, but we had a Hollywood Video by my house where I was able to rent a Super Nintendo to play it. And so I would rent the Super Nintendo and the game, and it's like late night binge playing just so that I could get through the game so I don't have late fees. I played the hell out of that game as much as I could.
Nice. Nice. I love that era where you can rent systems and games. That's so cool. It's a very nostalgic kind of thing. So you never owned it. You just kind of played it, you could say.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
At the time, I didn't own it. I mean, I've got like a version of it on like my 3DS and stuff like that. But like as for the actual Super Nintendo cartridge itself, I never owned it.
Cool. How did you feel about that game when you were playing it as a kid? Because this is the Zelda you love. Like this is the Zelda formula that you were used to previously. What was your opinion on Link to the Past?
I was glad that they went back to the original formula just after what they did with Zelda 2, because I think they learned their lesson and go, okay, this is not working for us. Let's go back to what the people liked. And they improved upon everything. They improved upon the dungeon design, the character design, the weapons, the items, giving us a light world and a dark world. I think it was just a fantastic game.
Whether it's the light world, the dark world, or anywhere in between, my wonderful patrons always have my back, and I am extremely grateful to them for that. These fine folk include Pete Harney, Ryan Payne of the Gamers Week podcast, Dan of Retrologic, Seth Sergel of the All End podcast, Julian of Nerds Without Pants, Tim Knowles of the Elitist, BT Goebbels, the Let's Play Princess, and a brand new member of the crew, Patrice, last name omitted because I'm not sure if they actually want that broadcast on a podcast. So, Patrice, it is. Thank you so much for joining up on the $2 tier. You heard correctly. 2 rupees will get you exclusive access to polls, early access to episodes, and any sort of rando content I have knocking around. I did an Austin City Limits Festival retrospective, 3 episodes worth of just comments from the ACL Fest. My experience at the festival, I think it's pretty neato. That could be yours for 2 thin bucks. And if you want to support the show in a non-monetary way, ratings and reviews on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast would be greatly appreciated. Let's get back to the show. and the first impressions keep on coming. Joe Coro returns to the show with more comments on Link to the Past, followed by the aforementioned Seth Sergill, and then Mike Alberton of Games My Mom Found, and finally Moses, a.k.a. the well-read mage of the-pixels.com.
Another Zelda keeps coming up in these conversations, especially Link to the Past. So I'd love to hear some of your experiences with that classic.
Oh, yeah. So so I was late to the party, like I said, for the 8-bit era, you know, the Metroids, Zeldas, Mario, all of that, all of those wonderful, wonderful games that have that came out for the NES in the 1980s. We touched on that in a previous episode. So I played it at for the first time. You know, to me, as a Sega kid, that was not a sequel. To people like you, you were, yeah, I'm sure, anxiously awaiting the sequel. But I never played Zelda 1 or Zelda 2 on the NES. So Link to the Past was my first, that was my first experience at a Zelda game. I was blown away. I was blown away. There was no game as deeply involved as that was. Graphically amazing. The story was incredible. Problem solving. I mean, I'm 11, 12 years old, and you have to problem solve your way through castles. Incredible. I mean, it took me 2 months to beat. Again, you're not dealing with any type of internet. You know, you were lost. You had to figure it out. You were an 11, 12 year old. And you had to figure it out. You had to figure out where to go. They would help you if you did the overhead map. They would show you, you know, you have to go here. But it doesn't. I mean, you could get lost, and you can get lost in a castle. There was no save spots like ROM, so you had to bulk up. If you lost, it was trial and error, 4, 5, 6 times. It's like, okay, I got to go practice, or I got to go save up rupees to buy medicine. You know, again, problem solving at such a young age, or you know what? I only have 11 hearts. I got to go search for more hearts. I got to go, you know, look around Hyrule to search for more hearts.
It's the only you wander around and push at the edges, I guess.
And
right?
You would wander around. That's right. And then realizing just years later as an adult, the scope of this game, how deep it was, the story and the soundtrack. I mean, my God, that soundtrack symphonically is amazing. I remember a couple of years ago, I stumbled onto someone that they did it again with the symphony, and they did. It might have been Nintendo that actually put it out, and it was amazing. I remember thinking, wow, this is what an amazing classical piece this is. Go look back on YouTube and some of the soundtracks to Hyrule, or the light world, or the dark world, or a castle. They're beautiful. I mean, they're beautiful, beautiful pieces.
I've listened to a good amount of the Zelda. I think it was the Zelda anniversary. It was like the 20th anniversary or something.
That was it. Yes. Good call.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a gorgeous, lush, beautiful soundtrack. It is worthy of an orchestra, you know, performing
exactly.
These pieces.
Right. Correct. Yeah. No, it's so well done. And the game itself still holds up. Just when you think you're done, that's when the game opens up more. You collect the three, I forget, penance, I think it is, or three something.
Three penance, I think, yeah.
Yeah, and then you have to, now you're in the dark world, and you have to release the 8 maidens, and it's just, wow, this is a second gaming experience. There's practically 2 games, you realize, wrapped up in one. In one cartridge.
Yeah. But let's talk a bit about The Legend of Zelda, A Link to the Past. So right out the offset, I'll ask the easy one. What was your first experience, your first impression, and how'd you feel about it when you first popped into your SNES?
Yeah, so my first exposure to A Link to the Past was actually, growing up, my parents got divorced when I was pretty young, and my mom, my younger sister and I were staying with my mom primarily, and we kind of bounced around to a bunch of different places, stayed and lived with a bunch of different people, and my first exposure to A Link to the Past was not on my Super Nintendo, it was on my friend Brandon's Super Nintendo, and we were staying with him and his family for a little while as my mom was trying to like get on her feet, and she was a single mom raising two kids. And I just remember he had it on his Super Nintendo. It was my first exposure to a Super Nintendo just in general. And yeah, I remember being just really struck by it because I had all this love for Zelda already, but you come into A Link to the Past and there is immediately so much more atmosphere, which I think is the most striking thing about that game and really just the Super Nintendo in general. Like, you come into that game and the opening of that game, it's like raining and there's like the crash of thunder and the screen's lighting up and you're like sneaking out of the house and going into the castle dungeon and things. And it has this dark, ominous tone, and it just really captures like a sense of atmosphere that I don't think was even possible on the NES. And I remember being very taken by that. So when I got my own Super Nintendo, that was the first game I wanted, was A Link to the Past. So I got that. I got Super Mario World. And I mean, what better two games could a kid ask for, right, on the Super Nintendo? And yeah, I was off to the races. And I do love that game. It is honestly, the more time has gone on and I've revisited it, it has fallen down the rankings a little bit for me, actually. But it's still an excellent game. And it's still one of my favorite Super Nintendo games. And I still have some very, very like treasured memories playing that late at night, being a kid sitting on my floor in front of our big like box TV.
It was A Link to the Past was the first one that I got and played and fell in love with for Super Nintendo. It actually was a game my mom found. She bought it for me. Randomly, I don't remember much about it, but I just know I had it and I played it a ton. Couldn't beat it for a long time, because I was a kid, get stuck in it all the time, but it was just something I always pick up and kept playing. And, you know, it was a game where you can kind of struggle, you can figure things out. You don't have to have perfect timing like a platformer. You can just kind of figure things out. And then that's why I was so attracted to it.
Interesting. So it's more the pacing, it sounds like, for you.
I sucked at video games as a kid. I still do now, but I can cheat. But as a kid, I didn't have the access. The internet didn't exist at that time for me.
Right.
And I didn't have access to videos and strategies. And so for me, it had to be a game where I could do something and then become more powerful as the game progressed and figure things out. And this was one of those games where, in a way, I was able to kind of, you know, collect hearts and do things and have the healing items. And it wasn't a game where I said, okay, you gotta just memorize this part. You gotta jump, you know, stop for a second, jump. Like, it wasn't that. And that's where I can't play games. I could never be Super Mario World as a kid, for example, but I could play this.
So this seems like it was something that was almost designed for you. Like, this is the kind of game that you could handle, and because of its patient way. It's funny when people talk about Link to the Past, really any Zelda, they rarely mention patient. And I think that's an interesting piece of the puzzle, because it is a game you can live in as opposed to play. Like, again, a Super Mario World, or, you know, something that's a little more twitchy or, you know, platforming based or anything like that. I think that's an interesting idea. Like, the game is a patient game that you can just play and explore.
And I was terrified of Link to the Past too, because when I was a kid, I was terrified of games in the sense of, like, I would only do what I knew I could do. Like, I would replay the first three bosses in this game constantly and just do that and not want to go on to the second world because it scared me. Not because it was scary, but just because it was the unknown. And I was like, I don't want to do the stuff I don't know how to do yet.
Sure.
So I would just stick and do other things. It was a neighbor of mine that really got me more into some games, because he was way older than me when I had met him when I was, let's say I'm 10 or 12 this time, and I met him, maybe not that, you know, younger than that, but when I met him, he was probably like 16. So we were decent years. He was an old neighbor from our, and then he used to come by, and we would just play games. He would play games and I would watch, and that was a lot of Link to the Past. He would play that and then I would watch it, and if I saw him do it, then I'd be more comfortable to do it myself.
Gotcha. And at that point, did you have the game yourself so you could kind of like mirror what he was doing?
Yeah, it was my copy.
Oh, gotcha. Okay, so he would just play it and you'd kind of pick it up from them. So it's interesting, you spend a lot of time kind of watching it. And I find that interesting because the game is so cinematic, right? It is a game that's a pretty good watch, if not a play as well. Do you think that helped you experience, or do you think that helped you appreciate the cinematic nature of that game? Just be able to sit from afar and kind of watch it.
That's how I appreciate most games when I was younger, and I look back, some of the games that mean a lot to me were games that I just watched. So I would say yes, like Link to the Past, you know, it's very entertaining to watch. Like, I've watched speedruns now. I've watched all sorts of videos on this game, and it's just one of those games that is always fun to just kind of see someone experience it. And it, I mean, fun to play too, but it's a game that you can watch and is still entertaining.
A Link to the Past really emphasizes what Nintendo does real well and creating the next generation's version of a familiar IP. So, like, I started with Zelda 1. Once I get to Link's, or A Link to the Past, I'm going to keep screwing these up. I get to A Link to the Past, it just felt like a complete natural evolution. It was not, you know, sequelitis on the one hand, and it was not trying to kind of outdo the other one by trying to impress with all these, you know, peripherals and mistaken, you know, gimmicks and things like that. Nintendo, kind of funny, known for their peripherals and their gimmicks, but these IPs, especially the really protected ones, and you can kind of understand why Nintendo is so protective of them, because they really want to control the lineage here. A Link to the Past absolutely felt like not, you know, Zelda 2, it felt like Zelda 1.5. It felt like it was that, or Zelda 1B, if you will. Like, it felt like the same exact thing, just on a new system, with everything that that new system could afford. So I mean, to this day, I'm basic. I fall in that category of, I think A Link to the Past is probably the best Zelda. It's not overly large. It works within its constraints. It fairly well respects your time, I think. It has just about everything that the Zelda games are known for. And it starts creating that whole sense of alternate worlds and alternate maps. It invents the Master Sword motif and mythos. Mm-hmm. It kind of represents everything that's iconic about this series, I think.
Better than a jazz version of the Dark World theme from Link to the Past? Not much, I wager. Except maybe the work of my good buddy Mike Alberton and his podcast Games My Mom Found. I talk about Mike all the time on this show. He talks about me on his show. It's this beautiful podcasting relationship, and I could not be more happy and blessed and just juiced to have him as a friend and fellow podcaster. Check out his show if you enjoy retro games, and I know you do. Mike talks about games of all sorts of eras, from a variety of different places, a variety of different genres, from the classics to the not-so-known to the completely obscure. Mike Alberton covers every base and covers it well. He also does comic book episodes, he does mini-sodes, he does movies, of which I'm on a lot of those. I think I've been on at least 40 movie episodes. If you enjoy my blatherings, I blather there too, so go and do likewise. To check out all of his work, go to podbean.com, search Games My Mom Found, everything comes up. Otherwise, on your streaming platform of choice, it's all right there, Games My Mom Found. Listen to it wherever you find and check out your favorite podcast. Next up, Greg from the Level Zero podcast, Red Ox PDX, Blue and Donnie from Gamers Week, and then finally, Jeff and Trevor from New Dad Gaming return to talk about those memorable moments of The Legend of Zelda, A Link to the Past, that stuck in their brains almost 25 years later.
On the early front end and then straight into the Super Nintendo and, you know, was playing Link to the Past when I was six, trying to figure out that whole game.
Six. You were playing Link to the Past at six. I'd love to hear about this.
Yes. So, man, you know, there were plenty of good, you know, pretty easy, introductory, understandable video games like, you know, like Mario. You've talked a ton about Mario and Mario 3 on your show here. And those games are fun and intuitive, and I still am obsessed with Mario 3 to this day. Mm-hmm. But when Link to the Past came along, so I was not a kid that played the original Zelda game. Link to the Past was my first Zelda game, and that was just the very first time that was it was something a lot more. It was a game that was full of adventure, that you were legitimately getting to the next part and then discovering something new and realizing how massive this world is.
Yeah.
And then looking, hitting the pause button and seeing how many slots you had in your inventory and realizing there is a lot to this game.
Yeah, there is.
And then the more that you dug into it, the more that I dug into Link to the Past, the more I just wanted to solve every single thing and find every single item and just beat the game. And it was very clear from right away that you need these items to progress in the game.
Yeah.
And it was really something special.
That's pretty cool. It's amazing how that learning happens. Do you feel like how Zelda, of course, Link to the Past, like you said, really requires you to kind of push at the edges a bit mm-hmm. and kind of do that problem solving. Have you found that love of problem solving in your now life as an adult that maybe kind of came from that experience?
Yeah, that's interesting. So I'm an engineer. I went to I went to school for engineering and still kind of am involved in the technical side. So definitely like problem solving, you know, solving puzzles is something that I like to do. I enjoy figuring out how things work and, you know, solving that. And that is interesting. I've not really thought about, did this just come from the fact that I liked doing this as a kid in video games? Like maybe.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes there's parallels. I've had this conversation with a few people, and one in particular draws a straight line, like from Zelda to the work he does right now, like what he loves to do, which is that problem solving, which is kind of,
that's interesting. Look,
yeah, I find that pretty fascinating, and especially with Zelda, because it is so open ended. Also, of course, with Link to the Past, it's so cinematic.
Oh yeah,
right.
Yeah, there's so much like just from the music and just right off the bat when you start that game, it is very atmospheric in a way that games really weren't up to that point, at least not that I had experience before playing that game. That was just like, wow, it's raining, and my father figure, uncle or somebody here, he's dying and I got to take up his sword. Like, what is going on here?
Yeah.
It really feels like there's more to it than most other video games at that point.
It's funny. I like how you mentioned the rain. Everybody who talks about Link to the Past mentions the rain.
Yeah.
And I think that's really interesting because rain was not something that you saw on the NES, because there's no way it could have made that happen. Not in real time, at least. Right.
Mm-hmm. I guess you couldn't.
Yeah. Right. Cool. So it's interesting how that little bit, that detail, which is probably very complex to do. I mean, I'm not a programmer, so I can't say, but the fact that Link to the Past opens with rain, it's such an evocative mood setter. You know, that's what movies do, right? They have sheeting rain and lightning strikes and the hero goes on an adventure. You know, it's
as well as the very emotional music that you're feeling, you're hearing, and just immediately you're getting that tone from the game. And it's certainly more than just like the beeps and boops and fun background music of games that you're used to up to that point. It was very much like, there is like an adventure here. There's a story here. And like, it's really dramatic right here at the beginning and just pulls you in.
Yeah. And even I think if I remember correctly, the very, very, very beginning of Link to the Past, I think it does take place like during the day. Like you meet your uncle, you go to bed, and then you wake up and it's raining. And And so for me, what that looks like is, it's almost like the game is saying, here's what you're used to, right? Mm-hmm. Daytime, wake up, person, talk to them, go to bed, right? This is the stuff you're used to. Boom, overnight. Now we're in new territory.
Yeah, most games, like if, and I've seen, you know, posts about this before, like all the best games have you start from a sleeping state and then, like, you know, show screens from different games that do that. And with Link to the Past, you kind of almost expect, okay, you're going to wake up, you're going to get out of bed, and you're going to go out that door. And when you go out that door, there's going to be this big, beautiful world, and you're going to be like, wow, look at all the things I have to explore. But that's not what you get. Instead, you get your uncle who says, I got to go. And he leaves, and then you've got no choice but to follow him. And in the house, there is a lantern. So all you get is a lantern, and you're told to go follow him. And that's just such a compelling start to a video game.
Yeah, and you have nothing else. Like, you have no way to defend yourself. You're just going to, like, sneak into this castle.
Nope. Right. Sword is not, unlike the first Zelda, the sword is not the first item that you're getting. Instead, it's just a lantern, and you're not exactly sure what's going on, which is kind of connects you to that character immediately, that you don't know what's going on. The character in the game doesn't know what's going on.
Right.
Yeah.
What else about the Link to the Past really strikes you?
So a big part of the Link to the Past that strikes me, and I think a lot of people would say this too, is the way that the game immediately gives you a map, an overworld, and then it gives you three pendants that it's pretty clear, without even telling you in text, that you need to go get those three pendants. And then you're going to get those three pendants and eventually find out you get the Master Sword. And then you're going to defeat the bad guy and save the princess. And, like, it sets that all up, and you assume that that is the game. You get those things, you defeat the dungeons, you collect the Master Sword, you beat the boss, the game is over. But then all of a sudden with Link to the Past, unlike any other game before it, there's an entire new world underneath it.
Yeah.
And it introduces you into the dark world. Then your map has seven icons, and you realize there are seven more dungeons in this game, and you've barely just started.
Wow. You're a third of the way through. Right. Maybe. Maybe.
Pretty mind-blowing when you're hitting that point.
So one of my childhood memories of really loving video games was, as a young kid, my dad bringing home Legend of Zelda, Link to the Past, for me to play. I don't recall if the first time we rented it and I enjoyed playing it so much, or if he just bought it for me outright. But I recall playing the game and looking through all of the different things that come with it. One of the things you might not know about me is that I really love player's guides, instruction manuals, and all the little bits and pieces that came with retro games. Mm. And as a kid, opening up A Link to the Past from the Super Nintendo box, you have that delightful map, and it has information about how to get through, you know, the light world on the front, and then it has a little bit of a mini walkthrough for the first few dungeons. And so for me as a kid, 7, 8 years old, you know, it really helped me understand what I needed to do to play a game that was very different from anything I'd tried before. And I just almost immediately off the bat was very much enamored with it. The music was good. The movement was fun. For me at the time, it felt like I was comfortable with the controls. I understood basically what to do to get the game started. And I have just really strong memories of playing through that game many, many times when I was a kid. I even remember being in high school and moving on to N64 and taking a little break from video games. And still, if I was going to sit down and pick up a video game and play it, that was probably one I was going to grab.
Wow.
And so it really just cemented itself in my mind. Go ahead.
No, please continue.
I was going to say, eventually, I also got The Legend of Zelda Link to the Past Player's Guide, which I still have from when I was a kid. And I loved the artwork and the other design features of that. It had so much incredible art to showcase the game and other things in it. And, of course, the maps were really helpful, too, when you don't know what you're doing when you're a kid. And so it made it really accessible and fun.
Speaking of bosses, do you have any real memorable ones that in Link to the Past that just struck you?
Now I need to look a list again.
Exactly, because it's been so long since I played it. And I'm sure there are other people out there who can just say, oh, it's this boss, this boss, this boss, this boss. I know him by name. I know them all by name.
Are you?
Yes, there are.
Yeah.
I can confirm.
The one I'm looking at were the group of knights. All right. So the one I just described, the dinosaur looking thing with the shell on its head, there was that one plus the group of knights. Those to me were the most memorable ones from A Link to the Past, you know, aside from Ganondorf. But those two right there, those are the ones like I can remember almost immediately from that game.
Yeah, the knights are a very interesting one because they're big and they move fast and they're not terribly hard. So you can, once you figure them out, you can figure them out pretty well. But yeah, those are really memorable. Blue, what about you?
The first one that's coming to mind is the Land Molas, the bosses in the second dungeon. They're like the sand snake things.
Oh, yeah.
And I just remember them being just such a pain in the ass. The way they speed up and they always disappear and reappear and they're throwing rocks everywhere. And it's like, will you just hold still so I can kill you, please?
Yeah, any other thoughts on Link to the Past? Even like cool encounters that really stick in your brain, or you know, the moment you hit the dark world and you realize the map is actually twice the size that you thought it was?
That was like the, again, like we talk about, like you get in there for the first time. It's probably, in a true sense, probably the most open world that you've had as far as a gaming system yet. And then it also deals with alternate realities, like where you like shift into entirely different maps, and now some of the puzzles are going to be like you have to like play both sides of the world to like finally get through it. Like the it could have just rested on its laurels and been just forget the dark world. All right, just a solid, great traversal open world type thing. Not even forget it, but it just did not want to accept it. It took it to the next level. Like, and there's an entire dark world. Like it. Unbelievable, like just the layers upon layers and just not accepting anything near basic. Like it just so much better than it needed to be in many ways.
Yeah, I'll say like just the amount of puzzles in that game. Mm. And I wish the bombs were unlimited because I remember bombing every wall. Like there were cracks in the wall that would tell you, but I'm like, no, there's gotta be some hidden one in one of these screens that makes it open up, and I'm going to be the first one to discover it, right? Because I didn't have the guide or anything. So I was going along bombing everything I could just to see if I could find a secret. So I just those little hidden gems around where you could kind of explore and get into it. And not to mention the dark world. I remember that was creepy, and I don't remember. It's just looking back on it again. It's like that's just a purple palette with like burnt out trees and like I remember being so creeped out about it.
Yeah, myself it was the Nintendo's, and I didn't play it much. I only say it was my introduction because it felt so omnipresent, because it, like, if you remember with the Nintendo cartridge, most of them were like that gold color.
Yes,
like completely like painted gold, so like to the point of being obnoxious. So most people that I knew that had a Nintendo and NES had that thing, and of course you noticed it, like, oh, there's that like shiny gold one. And I certainly played it, but didn't really get into it. I don't think I was in the right kind of mind space or old enough to really dive into that world. But, you know, you jump around a little bit, you hit some of the enemies, you eventually get to one heart, you got that god-awful beeping sound.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Just beep, beep, beep.
Just like how many incessant, never stopping.
How many parents must have just detested that? Would you get good at that game or shut it off? Like it's just so that was. But much like Jeff, yeah, I think my first real true foray into it was definitely on the SNES with A Link to the Past. That game was, it's still stunning to this day. Like it just is so well crafted and warm and wonderful. Like the world is just chock full. There's not a wasted pixel. It seems, mm-mm. You know, like it's really tight. Really well put together and just tons of fun little fun trinkets where you know the first time that chickens will attack you when you get them pissed off, it's all that kind of silly nonsense with it. So those are my introductions. So the first playing it on the NES and then really starting to get into it on NES with Zelda, and then first real getting into it on SNES with A Link to the Past.
Um, Any memorable boss encounters from Link to the Past?
Let's see. I think it was the battle against what was the wizard's name? Agnum.
Pronunciation like lore. It's just beyond me. So, Agnum, it's good, fine.
Yeah, because I remember like thinking that he was going to be one of the most difficult bosses, and at the time for me, he was. And then Ganon, I actually found to be easier than him for whatever reason. And I mean, granted, he's just the sub boss for the most part, but I really enjoyed that boss fight because I felt like I was really accomplishing moving the story along when I finally beat him.
Mm. So you felt like you had some agency in it, where yes. it wasn't just a level or the end of a, because I know lots of people who, when they faced off against Agnum, and I think I was the same way. You thought that was the end of the game. Like, okay.
Yep, that's kind of what it felt like. I mean,
right?
It felt like that's it. That's, you know, we're done. And then all of a sudden you find out that, nope, there's a lot more going on.
No, this entire map I've been traversing, it's now doubled in size. It's just flipped on its ear to a dark world. And I remember that going into the dark world for the first time. Just this sense of dread, like, oh, and I think I remember when I played it. And again, just to make sure I'm clear, I didn't own it either as a kid. I had cousins who had it, so I played it at their house.
Okay.
So I probably didn't play it like consistently. I think it was one of those they showed me, like, hey, check this out, you know, just to kind of show their little cousin what they had. And I remember entering that area, and when it flipped over your bunny Link, there was a sense in me that felt, I don't want to be here. Like a dread. Like, I don't want to be here. This is not a safe place, this dark world, because I'm used to light and pretty and Zelda, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and just the music that plays when you're in the dark world, the color tones and everything, it really does have that sense of dread and that feeling of you don't belong in this world. You are definitely an outsider. You should be gone.
Yeah. Yeah. The fact of you unable to even utilize any weapons or items, you're literally a defenseless bunny rabbit. That's literally what you are.
Yep.
Just as terrifying. It's really scary and very effective in, you know, and I think the timing is interesting because it's right after you beat who you thought was the boss. Like most people, most kids probably thought that was it, right? Agnum is the wizard. You know, it's only the third Zelda in the series. Does it have to be Ganon every time? Probably not. I don't know. But, and you all of a sudden, you're feeling good. And now you are just completely disempowered.
Exactly.
It's such a good trick. And it's a good story beat and emotional beat.
Thank you so much to the Lord Reverend D for closing out part one of our Legend of Zelda A Link to the Past retrospective. Yeah, I know, part one of two. I apologize for those who really were hoping for a large, chunky episode that had everything in one place, but due to time of that episode and kind of the way it was getting structured and some of the production I need to do for 2 weeks from now episode, it just had to be this way, so I apologize if it's broken up into two, but that's just how it had to happen. When you hear the episodes in a couple of weeks, it'll make sense. You'll think, okay, I get why Bill had to do that. So, but when you come back, lots of good things are going to be there. We're going to continue talking about memories of the game, talk about the legacy of this fantastic title, and a lot of just different bits and pieces of the fandom that kind of fit into almost a mini side quest at the end of the big picture. And I hopefully at the end, we have this nice broad spectrum of, again, a game that most will agree is at least a top 50 game ever made. And I think a game of this depth and of this magnitude needs a little more of that attention. So hopefully this does the trick. Until then, I don't know, have a great week. Maybe some ratings and reviews on Apple Podcasts or Podcast Addict or wherever you listen to your favorite shows would be greatly appreciated. And until next time, continue being awesome and patient. Have a great week. See you next Monday.